What's tricky is when we talk with people that are like, I don't need SEO, that immediately tells us you may not yet be ready to be a business owner because you're not yet considering valuation of business.
I've been spending thousands on SEO.
Right.
I've been getting SEO and I'm like, okay, well, this is what we can see for you. Nothing on maps, nothing on organic.
If people are telling you, look, we've got more impressions, that doesn't necessarily, that's obviously not always bad.
The bottom line is in our industry in particular, there has been a lot of snake oil over the years.
I spent thousands of dollars on SEO specifically with no return. All right, you guys, what up? Welcome to Run Radio, your go-to podcast for all things digital marketing, SEO, and growing your business with your hosts, Quinn.
And Brian. No, I'm just kidding. I thought I'd do something crazy.
Okay. Well, you guys, what we're talking about today, we've got a lot of stuff to cover. So if you aren't sure if you want to stick around for the podcast, here is the short TLDR. Basically, we have some stuff on AI, SEO and AI.
Again.
We have some, go ahead.
I said again.
Again, yep. And we also want to talk about the realistic reality of SEO and expectations. So, and maybe we'll kick it off with that today. So you guys can imagine as owners of an SEO agency, as individuals that work in SEO and digital marketing every single day, we hear it all, and certainly you've heard us talk about this in the past, but we hear a lot of people say, I got burned by marketing, or specifically, I got burned by SEO. So we want to dive into that a little bit. What does it look like to actually be burned by marketing and to be burned by SEO, and what doesn't it look like? So sometimes I think people have genuinely been burned by SEO and digital marketing, yeah. And sometimes I think they just had bad expectations. And that's an important differentiator, because if it's the latter and you didn't have bad SEO and bad digital marketing and you think you did, you could be in a rough spot for your business.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to actually being burned, there's kind of two levels there. There's, they didn't actually do anything. So it's like, yeah, you were paying for a service and they did very little, and so not a lot happened. And then there's like full-fledged, you bought some spam and now you're in an even worse spot. So not only did you not get any traction, but now you have to somehow recover as well. So
Now, if you're new to the podcast, you might not be certain about what SEO is. We're not going to get into that. Most of the people that watch know SEO, search engine optimization. It's getting your website found on the internet where people are looking, right? Where people are doing queries. So Google, Bing, search engines. And I think it's pretty commonly held. If you don't feel this way, you need to spend some time and learn about business and business growth. But SEO is important for business growth, as important as it might have been in the olden days of getting on the yellow pages, or even just general networking. You should be considered, if you are a business owner or you are a marketer and you've not touched in the world of SEO, you should. So with that groundwork laid, let's talk about getting burned by an SEO company look like? And then on the flip side, what is just bad expectations for your SEO agency or your SEO partner look like?
Yeah. And obviously there's a lot of variables for this, but I think one of the first things that we see is very common is someone gets tied into a contract, and the agency or the consultant, whoever they're working with on their SEO, is either doing a bad job or set poor expectations. But now not only are they having to pay and they thought they'd be getting traction sooner, but they're not getting anything back and they're locked into a contract that they have to pay. And so I think for a lot of business owners, that can feel right there like a burn.
Yeah. We just spoke with a realtor, and the realty space is, we'll say, crowded. It's a pretty intense space.
Yeah.
Certainly if you're on the internet, you're looking for ways to become a millionaire, you're going to see quote after quote saying something along the lines of 90% of millionaires have real estate. Now, so certainly real estate is a booming industry, a great way to make a dollar, but realtors specifically, there are many, a dime a dozen.
Yes. Everybody's got a cousin or a brother-in-law that's a realtor, but not only outside of that, in the search space, you're also up against big giants like Redfin, Trulia. I mean, there are huge sites that have been doing SEO and have pretty amazing websites that you're competing with at a nationwide level down to the very localized markets, all the way to specific listings inside of search, where these sites are going to rank even for specific addresses. So there's not only big competition, but then there's everybody else that wants to rank in that space as well.
Yeah. So let's break her down. She's got an SEO guy today. She pays about $800 a month. And we did a rudimentary audit. We just for the sake of that, she had contacted us.
Throw her into SEMrush.
Good old SEMrush. A little poking and prodding of the actual site.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of Google searches, some site colon searches, if you're not familiar with that. Basically just seeing what Google has indexed, both from as much of a back-end perspective as we can get without analytics or Google Search Console, and then kind of a front-end experience perspective. And it's pretty clear, no keywords. She's just not.
Yeah, very contrary to what she had thought, because she said, I've been spending thousands on SEO.
Right.
I've been getting SEO, and I'm like, okay, well, this is what we can see for you. Nothing on maps, nothing on organic. We can find you for your name.
Right.
That's about it.
And I will say her name was ranking with things like LinkedIn. She had a conglomerate, like a partner that was basically underwriting, I think. I don't know really how
it's
that
a brokerage
works.
House, yeah.
Brokerage house that she was ranking for there. So she had mentioned, hey, I'm getting like, you know, 4 or 5 calls a month that people tell me it was from Google. And so I think she's got, we hypothesize that there was a little just disassociation, a misunderstanding of what was happening and what she was getting.
Yeah. Well, and they did have one good thing going for their website, which is they had the MLS or the IDX, which is basically the data feed of all of the houses for sale on the major network for their area, built into their site, and not even actually embedded, actually built in. So that content was indexable through their website. And so that was one thing that I was thinking is, hey, maybe they're not actually showing up on any keywords that have any search volume, so we're not seeing it. But maybe this guy put his house up for sale. Someone drove by and said, search the address. And maybe she went and popped up on there.
And somebody calls.
Yeah.
And without Google Search Console or analytics, we'd just
never see
that.
Yeah.
So the reality is because she was quite frustrated at the beginning. And then as we started to pitch our service to her, you know, all of a sudden she's putting up brakes because she didn't want to like step on toes. But she started out very frustrated with her SEO service. And as we were contemplating like what had been done, our first initial reaction was she's on for a ride.
I couldn't see anything that looked, in my opinion, optimized at the very basic things like the title tag of your homepage. You'd expect to be going after some type of keywords, just like the absolute minimums, right?
So how do we juxtapose that then to like poor expectations? Was it just that she was unnecessarily frustrated with what she was spending with SEO? I think in this case, maybe there's a little bit of both. One, I don't think this particular person had a ton of knowledge of digital marketing or really business management in general. And that can be really tricky, you guys. If you are building a business and you don't know a lot about business, say you're really good at a trade or you've got a lot of knowledge, in this case, in realty, right? That does not necessarily mean you are fully equipped to run a business. Now, that certainly doesn't mean you shouldn't go hustle and get after it and work for it.
Learn.
But yeah, it can be tricky when you don't really have a grasp on what it takes to run a business. And everybody and their dog wants to tell you, look how easy it is to be an affiliate marketer. In fact, we're going to talk about a video about that, but look how easy it is to start an agency or to be a realtor or to make $10K a month on this,
yeah,
whatever. It's harder than it sounds. And so what happens is we start talking business acquisition. Let's say she wants to sell this business in 10 years, or maybe she wants to retire and hire people and manage it, right? Neither of those realities are going to be privy to her without an acquisition model or monetizable assets, whether physical or digital. There's just nothing there other than a name, right? And you might consider that if you were going to go buy a business, you want to know what you're going to get for it. And that's not only assets, right? But that's like a book of business. Are people coming in? Are they looking for you and finding you? That's certainly going to give value to your valuation of what that business is worth. And so what's tricky is when we talk with people that are like, I don't need SEO, that immediately tells us you may not yet be ready to be a business owner because you're not yet considering valuation of business or longevity of business or sustainability of business. So what I will say is I think we kind of got a hint to both things happening. She is getting burned by an SEO company,
yeah,
but she also maybe has some poor expectations. So let's dive into some of those things.
Yeah. So it's as far as getting burned, it's super common, and this could be both tied into a contract or not, because there's an element there where, you know, we've seen tons of models where it's like a turn and burn shop where people are doing great at getting them into their own funnel, selling them, and then outsourcing or, and not that that's necessarily bad, but a lot of times, a lot of the services that you buy for white label through SEO are like just not a ton of value.
Yeah.
I would hope to see that that's improving over time, but it does, to some degree, it doesn't seem to be.
So if you are working with an SEO company today and you're not meeting with them regularly, probably a good indicator that you're getting a runaround. I think that's a pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you should be knowing what's the goal and how far along are we towards it at a minimum, and have some type of communication of what's going on. I think.
And we might suggest, like, when we say some type of communication, if you're getting a monthly email and it's saying we built you X amount of backlinks, here's some blog posts, probably a good indication that you need to dive in a little bit. Deliverables are a great indicator of value. So what deliverables are you getting? And you may not necessarily know all of the deliverables. Maybe there's a handful of reports or technical infrastructure or items that have been identified as opportunities that have been capitalized on. You don't necessarily need to know all of them, but you should certainly see that they're happening and getting done. So I think it would be a safe point to mention that if you are getting a monthly email only as part of your SEO service, might be an indicator for you to dive in and see what you're actually getting. That would be indicator one.
Yeah. Now, number two would be, and this is one of the scariest, I think, is that you're getting like Fiverr backlinks, or you're getting like syndicated bad content backlinks, like stuff that can actually hurt your site. Now, and I think we've seen that these hurt a little bit less over time, but just don't really help. I think there was a general consensus for a long time that you could go and buy Fiverr backlinks and you'd get a short boost from that. I don't think that's the case anymore. Really what we see from that is not much, but that's probably one of the most common burns, I would think, is like, you're paying and you're buying a bunch of spam, and it's not helping and potentially hurting a little bit. And so as far as how deep that burn is kind of like, how much are you paying and for how long?
Yeah. Let's maybe dive into the indicator two of bad marketing. I was trying to find the picture. It's all over the internet, but it's this guy really excited about increase in impressions. But in the same image, he's got this big blown up presentation. Maybe we can find it as we're going. But
yes, we definitely can.
But as the impressions were increasing, clicks were dropping. So that's specifically SEO related. And why would that be happening even now more than ever? AI. So AI is may mention you if you've got any sort of optimization for AI, might mention your brand. And so we are seeing an increase in impressions across industries, all of our sites, that may not have indicative performance for your business. And so if people are telling you, look, we've got more impressions, that doesn't necessarily, that's obviously not always bad. We should just also see correlated clicks, or even more importantly, a correlation to bottom of funnel sales and conversions. So something that you should absolutely be asking yourself is my digital marketing company even talking to me about how what they're doing is going to have impact on money in my pocket?
I just slacked it to you. Let's see here. It's, I really like, I like a lot of the memes that have been being made of it. I saw a Simpsons version. It's, yeah, it's very, I
here we go.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of people really like this one.
So, I mean, exactly, I like what his we're stance talking about
as well.
he's very adamant about this. So we see an increase in impressions, and that may be really exciting for him. And this pivotal moment when it happens, but a dramatic drop in clicks, obviously not positive. So a little bit of common sense can go a long way for you. Asking questions like, and ideally you don't have to ask. Ideally, if you're feeling confident and you're not getting a hunch that this is, that what you're paying for is sour, these people should be telling you right out of the gate what work they're doing and how that's having impact on your business in general. But certainly you could ask questions like, okay, we got more keywords. Did that yield more clicks? What did those clicks do? Are they doing what we want them to do? Are we able to track what they're doing, right? Those would be good questions to kind of evaluate. And then maybe a final thing that we'll talk about here, I don't want to cut it short, but we have other things to talk about, by way of vetting out whether or not you're getting legit marketing, is to determine whether or not you are getting any sort of substance with your deliverables. So we talked a little bit about maybe things that reports that can be generated, performance, or an actual show of content that's being created, or backlinks. But like Brian's talking about, quality matters. And so as you go in and just look at, maybe there is content that's being updated on your site, or people are working on social or email, a good indicator is just to see. So we talked a little bit about volume of deliverables, but also the quality of that volume is going to be really important for you to determine whether or not you are paying for a lemon.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like anything in life. You can go and buy a very nice car and it's going to be very dependable, or you can go and buy a not so good car. And so I think there's a lot of variability there, but bottom line is, in our industry in particular, there has been a lot of snake oil over the years. Initially, for many years, it seemed like, because it was a newer concept, that there was some people that were being, you know, had parted with their money in not a nice way. But I think the most common thing now is like, tied into a contract and just they're not doing anything. That is so common. Or, you know, guys that, or companies that are just doing a not that good of a job.
Right.
And that can, if you've put enough money behind that, that can definitely feel like a burn.
Yeah. Okay. So then let's juxtapose that real quick with those that maybe think that they got burned, but may have just had poor expectations. So you might be in this category, but we hear this often. And generally these people are no longer paying for any sort of marketing. And so we'll get on a call. They'll say, I've done it. I've paid for SEO multiple times. I spent thousands of dollars on SEO specifically with no return. So we want to kind of pull back the hood on that too. They may have been burned, but also if you're just ruling out SEO altogether because you were burned, that generally is an indicator to us that it's not just a burned issue. You don't understand it, or you have poor expectations about it. Because generally, if we're hearing like, "I got burned, I'm never doing this again," you don't quite grasp what SEO is or what it can do for you, or what your business needs from SEO. So, for example, often people will say, "Look, we did 6 months of SEO, and then we changed to another company and did 6 months of SEO. Then we changed to another company and did 6 months of SEO, and I got nothing. I rank for nothing today." Well, you also may have just done too little too late. You primed the pump just enough each time. And every time you got a little bit of water, you just kept priming the pump and then starting over. So SEO and digital marketing is an investment. You want to grow a business that's going to be sustainable. You talk about sustainability or profitability or longevity for, you know, future. You cannot consider SEO a short-term solution of turning, maybe an ad, right? Maybe you might get some short-term solution with an ad, but you cannot consider digital marketing in general as a light switch that you can turn on and then turn off. So I swear the most heartbreaking thing that we can hear from a business owner is them saying, "We aren't going to do SEO anymore," because I raise my eyebrows and I'm like, even if it's not us, you're saying you don't want to do SEO anymore at all. Then I've done a poor job as a partner to help you understand what SEO should be doing for you. Because typically that's like saying, if you've got a brick and mortar restaurant, we can't pay for the lights anymore, or our kitchen's getting too expensive and we're going to cut costs in the kitchen. Those are generally bad things to do if you're going to run a business, because it's basically taking the rug out from under your feet. So let's talk a little bit about then what are some good expectations with SEO or digital marketing. I would say certainly you want to be getting the deliverables back so that you can check up on the quality and quantity of work as you go. But if those are giving you positive signals, you're seeing work get done and they have impact on performance, the first thing that we'll want to talk about is basically the word is time. But what I'm looking for is it's a substantial foundation, right? If you are changing SEO companies or digital marketing companies so fast that you can't even evaluate the performance of the company, you're probably the problem. You are probably the problem and not them. And so that might be hard for some of you to hear, but certainly it is a reality to consider. You have any thoughts there?
I would say number one, in my opinion, is competition, because just because you started doing SEO, everybody is working on it. Everybody wants to be there, right? You could say the same thing about Google Ads. It's like, yeah, you can start doing Google Ads, but everybody wants to be there. And so the price of clicks is going up, and the investment that it takes to get the traction that you want from SEO is more difficult to attain. And so that could mean you need more time, more content, a faster site, a better UX. It could be a lot of things before you can finally crack that code, or, you know, you just need more.
And I feel like a lot of people will come in and they'll learn that. right? We'll go through those motions and find out that a cost per click is higher than they expected. And that'll turn people off. And the reality is like turning it off isn't going to fix the problem. The problem is going to continue to be there. You just had poor expectations of what it took to run a business, what it was going to cost you to acquire a client. And now, because that was more than you expected, you're going to turn it off altogether and go back to knocking doors, which is certainly something you should be, you know, outbound marketing.
You can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, what will often happen is poor expectations will put business owners in a tough spot, and then they'll look to their marketing team to solve a problem that they didn't anticipate. And it's not on the marketer to drive down. I mean, obviously, we want to get more efficient with the clicks that we are getting. But if that cost is going up because of people bidding higher and competition coming in, that's poor business management. That's poor business planning, not a bad marketing agency, right? That's
a really good point. And you know, just maybe even needing to dive in deeper, go a little bit harder. You know, things are competitive, sometimes you have to go harder. Yeah. And that could obviously be scary. You know, if it's like, oh, we're not quite there, so let's double down. You know, hopefully you have some wins and some traction before you have to make some type of judgment call like that. I would say you should usually, even in a more competitive landscape, there are places that you can get rankings that for lower volume or less competitive keywords along the way to help you kind of build that foundation. And so hopefully that's, if you're in a super competitive market, that you've found some of those little gems out there. But yeah, I think that's a big thing on expectation. And most people in competitive industries, now they're in competitive industries. If you're in insurance, if you're in personal injury law, you know that it's competitive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you bring up a really good point. We had this for a while. We were running an ad and we were getting a lot of cleaners. Like so many cleaners coming in talking to us, which suggested that they understood the value of digital marketing. But what they had missed is understanding cost per acquisition to lifetime value. And so what was happening is because there was such abundance in that field, it was expensive to acquire a client either through an ad on Google, like a search ad or an awareness-based social ad. It just cost more. And the value of what those deals were bringing in didn't mitigate the cost. They didn't have a big enough profit margin. Is that an agency problem? Or is that
it's an industry.
It's an industry and a business inception or conception problem, right? So something else to bring up.
And I was going to say it's also maybe a little bit of an oversaturation problem. In particular, where it's like, if there's so many people that are doing cleaning and everybody wants in on it. So now all of a sudden you're either a really expensive cleaner or you're like, your margins are super low.
Yeah. So I would say one of the poor expectations you can have around digital marketing is that your digital marketer has to solve your business problems. Right. A digital marketer should be solving your acquisition problems, but they're not going to solve your plans, pricing, and packaging. A good marketing partner should be asking those questions, understanding the fulfillment side. They should be helping you come up with, you know, problem and solution, pain point and resolution, so that you have a good product and you have something to sell. But you should not come to the table with expectation that your digital marketing agency should be solving your business infrastructure problems. So that's something. And we have, because we are digital marketers, we talk with a lot of budding entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And all too often, I would say very commonly, you get entrepreneurs that have the idea, which is a great place to start. And it's also a good indicator of a good entrepreneur because they're running and they've got ideas, but that do not vet out acquisition to lifetime value. We see it all the time. We see, you know, people around in our local area want to start like gyms, and they want to start some of these things that they've seen other small people be successful with. And they're thinking, I'm going to have, you know, this and that and this feature and that really exciting thing. And once we start talking about volume of market and going to market and what it might cost for them to acquire a client via a Google ad or a Facebook ad, or the time that it will take to build the infrastructure for equity and authority on SEO, what would they have to charge to make sure that they're profitable? They don't even think about that, let alone payment processors and marketing automation, all the things that are going to help them cut those costs and remove user error. They're just not even thinking about that. So I would say that's probably the largest poor expectation for a marketing agency, is you came in with very little business knowledge and you are now leaning on your marketing company to solve more problems than just the marketing.
Well, and so just to take a little bit of, we can't put that all on the business owner, because I know there are a lot of sales guys that promise the world out there.
Very true.
And so there a little bit falls on their shoulders, I think, as well as sales guys that are making crazy claims that they can make it happen. And in either an unreasonable amount of time or for, you know, it's, if that's how you're making your money is through sales, it's, I'm sure it's easy to want to make some exaggerations, yeah, or something like that, but because it's not magic, but I think that's another area where things can go wrong as well.
Yeah. And you just touched on, I think maybe the second and maybe the last one we have time for, poor expectation, is just a timeline.
Yeah.
So obviously SEO takes more time than an ad. You can turn on an ad relatively quickly. You can start generating inbound demand. SEO, you've got to build content. You have to build infrastructure. You have to have site speed. You have to core web vitals. There's indexability. Once the site gets indexed, then it has to rank better. And then you do it again and you iterate and you lose something. What I think happens often is that people will say, well, gosh, if it takes time, it's not worth it. Ooh, that's where we get into really poor planning situations, because anything that's of value is going to take time.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Maybe to end off then, we want to give you a little treat. We found a couple things that we want to react to with you guys. So let's jump in here. We've got an X, AKA Twitter. Brian, I don't know if you want to dive in.
Yeah, this is from, and I don't want to butcher her name, Alita.
Liz Reed. Oh yeah.
Alita
Solis.
Yeah. She has made quite a name for herself on social media in the SEO space over the last few years. She's got a really awesome newsletter. But anyways, definitely go and check her out. She has a lot of good resources. She actually has a learning SEO for those that are interested in learning SEO that you can take you from start to finish on, you know, knowing what to do to go out and start getting in rankings. Anyways, she is sharing a post from Liz Reed from Google, who's on the Google team. And as I don't know if she's like she's some point of contact or like
liaison.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And basically they're saying, hey, yeah, we're rolling out AI overviews, but people aren't getting less traffic because of AI. Basically, to kind of sum up what she was trying to say. I think anyone that's using AI, it's easy to see where if you had a question, you can now get an answer that is definitely a zero click search. And so there are people that are no longer getting those clicks, especially for informational queries. And so, it's really interesting to see, a Google front man come out and say that AI mode or AI overviews is not having an impact, because it definitely is, especially as I said, for those informational queries. I think if you're in a local market or if you're in e-commerce or more bottom of funnel queries, we haven't seen that level of impact yet, but I think the general consensus in the industry is yes, AI overview is taking clicks from informational queries and other top of funnel searches. So I wanted to bring this up just because I think it's kind of crazy that they would even dare to come out and say that. So,
yeah, so this is a fun one. And then this other one we've got here also grabbed our attention. Maybe a little scary here. Yeah,
this is from Chris Long. He is another SEO. He puts out great content on X related to SEO. I enjoy his content. But basically he has...
Do we want to listen to the video?
Yeah, all? Please.
Let's listen to it. Check this out, you guys.
Okay, everyone. So big news this week in the SEO world. Adage has released internal documents shared here on Search Engine Roundtable that Google is already talking to potential advertisers about what ads in Google's AI mode will look like. This is just part of the mounting evidence that AI mode will be released to the general search experience to some degree, probably within the year. And here in the document, you can see they're going to recommend text and shopping ads formats. That's what they're planning on releasing. They have a status as an experiment. I would expect them to fully roll it out at some point. Funny enough, they also recommend broad match search keywords that certainly benefits Google and their advertising initiatives, but also might be what advertisers actually need to do in order to appear in AI mode for longer base prompts. And this is just some of the mounting evidence that Google is going to release this at some point. Like I said, probably within the year. Another report has them showing that broader ad placements already expected before Q4. So they're already planning on testing monetizing this as soon as they possibly can. If you go back to even June, Google did an interview with Lex Fridman where they basically said Google's AI mode is the plan and going to be rolled out in the search experience to some capacity. They're already making different UX features like including AI mode directly in the Google search button experience in the homepage.
We'll pause it there. But yeah, so implications.
Yeah, I think it, for people in the SEO industry, it's, you know, it adds another layer of unknown. Anytime there's big change, who likes change?
Definitely
unknown.
Move my cheese, right?
Yeah. And so I thought that was interesting. I also have seen, so one of the things that I just read earlier today is that right now the UK is getting an AI mode beta test. And the usage increased shortly, and it's only been for a few weeks, but the week over week data is showing that it's actually it decreased. I don't think the AI mode is the answer for everything as it comes to search. It's not in my experience, it's not always the fastest or the best experience, especially depending on what you're searching for. And so he was sharing this out and more mounting evidence that it's coming to the search experience. And I just hope it's not too soon.
Well, there you have it, you guys. We've had a couple updates. We talked to you a little bit about the differences between being burned by your SEO company or your digital marketing company, and maybe the juxtaposition of that with just poor expectations. Here's a little thought. Why don't you go check and see if your SEO company is doing anything for themselves. That's a good thing to check. Also, maybe see if they have anything, if they're aware of what's new and relevant today. You know, are they putting out a podcast? Are they talking about what's on the cutting edge? Those are good things to check out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they taking their own medicine? Might be a good indicator if they're a good fit for you as well. And with that, you guys, we encourage you to go ahead and like and subscribe. Certainly, this podcast lays heavier on some of the technical stuff, but that's by design. We definitely feel like we are looking to be in front of an audience that is not looking for superficial. They want to talk about the nitty gritty and the down to earth stuff. So if that vibes with you, go ahead and like and subscribe. Leave any comments that we might have missed or that you might have a different opinion about below. And as always, this is Quinn.
And Brian.
With Run. Grow fast.
Get smart.
Look at us. We got it. All right, you guys. Hey, you guys. Thanks for watching this video. Of course, we hope that you liked it, and we hope that you want to share it with your friends. Maybe even press that like button for us. Maybe even subscribe. You could toggle the notification bell so that you get notified when we put out our new videos. If you found this content helpful, you guys, go ahead and visit rundigital.com and you can sign up for our newsletter there, where you will receive then all the latest and greatest from Run Radio news and updates, of course, in marketing and in business growth. You can find the sign up on the homepage of the site. Of course, if you're looking for help in your business or your agency, you can reach out directly to us from the website, or you can even check out our completely transparent pricing on rundigital.com/pricing. You guys, we do white label our services to other agencies who may not feel like they have the capabilities to fulfill on some of the things that their clients need. So you can hit us up about that. If nothing else, you can certainly find us on all the socials, where we have short form videos on quick tips and tricks that you can do to fix your marketing mistakes right now, or to just get more out of your digital footprint for your business. Anyway, as always, we'll see you in the next video. This is Quinn with Run, Grow Fast, Scale Smart.